Morning Pensacola, Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
I would much rather do just all local news all the time, but every once in a while, you just have to pay attention to these things. I began the show talking about something that happened at City Council, at 6 o'clock we did that. I can't even remember now what I did at 5 o'clock, something probably similar. But I suppose this Minneapolis thing, this Minnesota thing, we ought to talk about this. And it's not that I'm reluctant to tell you or give my opinion. I just think, in the grand scheme of the things that matter to you as a person, what your kid does at school today is more important than what ICE did in Minnesota. And what the, you know, Community Redevelopment Agency or Reimagine Palafox is doing downtown is more important than what happened in Minnesota. And we have a news industry, of which I am a part, that sells anger, fear, frustration, anxiety as a product that people consume. And whatever is the most recent, exciting, outrageous, frustrating, annoying thing captivates everybody's attention, and they keep captivating our attention like a train wreck or a car wreck on the side of the road. And, you know, what happens when you're driving past a car wreck is, you know, traffic slows and that creates a 6-mile backup. And so here we are as a country, all focused on what happened in Minnesota. And because that displaces everything else we're doing, we're not talking about things that city council has done or the county commission has done or whatever. That's the nature of, we can only talk about one thing at a time. That doesn't mean that what happened in Minnesota doesn't matter. It doesn't mean that there's not an important set of facts to be talked about or that the administration hasn't said pretty much every wrong thing you could say about the event. But just for perspective, sometimes it's important to remember that, I don't know, reading your Bible and knowing how not to burn the roast, knowing, you know, when the library book is due back, and, you know, reading your kid a story and playing Legos with them or playing, you know, Settlers of Catan with them or whatever, you know, or going out hunting or playing airsoft or, you know, wrestling with them. You know, like, that's what matters. It's not that what the federal government through ICE is doing in Minneapolis doesn't matter. It does matter. But the stuff that really matters in life often is completely ignored by my industry. And then you get even the stuff that is sort of within the realm of news isn't what gets fed to you, especially by national news sources, because they're national news sources. What do they know about Pensacola? Oh, yeah, you know, you hear about the cold. Okay, fine, you know. But that's my preface. That's my, it's fine to have an opinion, and it's fine to care. But if you learned anything from social media over the weekend, you learn that, like so many other things, this is an incident that has, everybody's an expert. Everybody's got an opinion. Everybody thinks this is the most important thing, and they've got to be seen performing their dance of supporting or opposing or whatever. So that's my first set of comments on this. Second set of comments. They clearly were unjustified in shooting him. And the administration has said really mistaken and or problematic things about this shooting after it took place. Should he have been there trying to, well, interfere with is a bit strong, because what we've actually seen from the videos is that he was basically trying to get between an ICE agent who was pushing a woman to the ground with a camera in his hand, and then he gets pepper sprayed for it. Is that interfering? Maybe. Why was he there? Was he being, you know, was he interrupting, interfering, trying to obstruct? Maybe. Did anything he did justify him getting shot? No. Clearly not. I mean, clearly not. So was it negligent homicide? Was it manslaughter? Was it, you know, murder second degree? Was it first degree murder? Well, those are all things that only a jury is ultimately going to decide. But what the administration has done is just get every piece of this so wrong that although I care about the individual and their loss of life, as a commentator, I mean, it's just unacceptable the lies that have been said by the representatives of this administration since it happened. And I care about all of these things. I care about your kids and playing Legos with them. I care about you reading your Bible and praying and making the roast. And I care about how ICE killed somebody in a completely unjustified way. And I care that the administration has said some just absolutely outrageous things in the wake of it. Let's start with Jared Bravino from the we'll come back to this in just a second. PJ's got traffic on the fives. PJ?
I-10 and 110 are both looking good at this hour. Just a little bit of congestion on Gulf Breeze or in Gulf Breeze between Shoreline Drive and Fairpoint. No delays on Oliver Burgess in Pensacola. I'm PJ with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, PJ. Okay, so Jared Bravino, commander of the Customs and Border Protection, he said in the initial aftermath or the first press conference.
Individual approached U.S. Border Patrol agents with a 9mm semi-automatic handgun.
Okay, that they didn't know he had until they were well into the melee. So describing it that way is misleading at best.
The agents attempted to disarm the individual, but he violently resisted.
False. One agent disarmed him, pulling the gun out of his back, you know, where it was in his waistband, in the melee. He did not violently resist them.
Fearing for his life and the lives and safety of fellow officers, a Border Patrol agent fired defensive shots.
Okay, this is the one where it starts to be a little bit unclear, because as the one agent grabbed the gun that until they had him on the ground wrestling him, they didn't even know he had because it was concealed, he grabs the gun, and then shortly thereafter, somebody yells, "Gun, gun." That was a mistake because the gun was in the possession of the Border Patrol agent. When you yell, "Gun, gun," in a situation like that, you're telling your fellow officers that the person you are arresting or detaining or, you know, restraining is armed. That's a universal signal to tell them, hey, this escalated, life is at risk. That shouldn't have been yelled, because he was already disarmed at that point. Somebody yelled it, and then they shot, and like 9 or 10 shots, it's a little hard to count, but somewhere in that vicinity, and they wind up killing him. Now, is that murder? I don't think so. Is it negligent homicide? You could make that case. Was it a violation of good training? Yes. Does it fit with what the administration is saying? No, definitely not. Coming back to Jared Bovino.
Medics on the scene immediately delivered medical aid to the subject, but the subject was pronounced dead at the scene.
That is contradicted by eyewitnesses who say that they weren't doing that. In fact, a pediatrician who was at the scene, a bystander, was allowed to come in and look at him because she asked to, and they at first wouldn't. She says they were counting bullet holes instead of administering CPR or trying to life save. So the immediate life saving assistance is false, according to an eyewitness at the scene.
The suspect also had 2 loaded magazines and no accessible ID. This looks like a situation where an individual wanted to do maximum damage and massacre law enforcement.
Based on what evidence? Based on what evidence? A guy had a concealed pistol with a magazine in it and another magazine loaded. He had 2 magazines. A 100% normal concealed carry. I walk around town like this every day. All kinds of people walk around the city of Pensacola just like this every single day. He said, well, what was he doing at this incident with ICE? Well, yeah, okay. He put himself in a situation where there's at least the potential for trouble. If he was at some demonstration or protest, was it wrong? No. It's completely acceptable to conceal carry at a political demonstration. That's not prohibited by law. Now, the not having an ID readily available, that's an interesting one. May or may not be a violation, but in any case, it's a misdemeanor. It's a $25 fine. It's a tiny little violation in Minnesota. So almost everything that Jerry Bovino said is either false or misleading or both. And there is no evidence that he was intending to do anything other than film, which is all he was doing when he started to get pepper sprayed and kind of get between a Border Patrol guy and the woman that he was pushing on the ground, which I don't recommend. It's not smart. But does it subject him to being killed or murdered or negligent homicided or whatever? And the answer is no. Okay, Christy Noem.
The 37-year-old who had a license to carry, did he brandish a gun? And at what point did law enforcement retrieve the gun and also the magazines from him? Can you offer clarity on
this
where
individual
those were found?
Showed up to impede a law enforcement operation and assaulted our officers. They responded according to their training and took action to defend the officer's life and those of the public around him.
Yeah, I am very concerned about the level of training, about who is doing these kind of enforcement actions. And he did not assault them. And certainly did not assault them with a deadly weapon, didn't brandish it, didn't show it. They didn't even know he had it until they had him on the ground and one of the agents removed it from his waistband. He didn't draw it, didn't threaten it, didn't menace it, didn't brandish it. And carrying it is certainly not a threat, unless you believe that carrying a gun is suddenly illegal. Because even the NRA has said, that's not how this works.
And I don't know of any peaceful protester that shows up with a gun and ammunition rather than a sign. This is a violent riot when you have someone showing up with weapons and are using them to assault law enforcement officers.
Okay, he didn't use them to assault anybody. And what are you talking about? I've been to political protests. I don't go often, but I've been to them. I've carried a gun. And even carrying openly is legal in most places, or at least a lot of places, not a violation of the law. I thought this administration was in favor of gun rights in the Second Amendment. And here they are attacking him for concealed carry at a of course you conceal carry. Okay, last one, and this is the worst of all. Christy Noem says her stupid things. Jerry Bovino said his stupid things. The worst of all was Kash Patel, the director of the FBI. This is unfathomably stupid.
As Christy said, you cannot bring a firearm loaded with multiple magazines to any sort of protest that you want. It's that simple. You don't have that right to break the law and incite violence. We will, of course, always protect your First Amendment speech. And if you peacefully protest, there is absolutely nothing wrong with that. But you have seen a trend here, not just in Minnesota, but across the country, in these protests turning into violent scenarios and people attacking law enforcement. That's when you go over the line, and that's when law enforcement steps in.
Yeah, if you attack law enforcement, if you draw a gun, if you menace them, oh, sure. But did you catch the first part that the director of the FBI said?
As Christy said, you cannot bring a firearm loaded with multiple magazines to any sort of protest that you want. It's that simple. You don't have that right to break the law and incite violence.
Well, to incite violence, correct. But to bring a gun to a political protest, of course you're allowed. Of course. This isn't even a question. I don't know where he comes from on this. And Christy Noem said it, and he said it. And for both of them, in their position as law enforcement overseers, there's no words. You couldn't be more wrong. The director of the FBI says you can't bring a gun to a political protest. What country do you think this is? What part of the Constitution have you not read? 723 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. Again, I just want to, for those of you who are just tuning in, I spent a lot of time talking about how this is not the most important thing in the world, and it's not. I spent a lot of time talking about how other things matter more and how we have a news industry in this country, which I'm part of, okay, that is often going to play on your emotions and fear and anxiety and stress and, all that stuff and get you worked up. And I'm trying not to be that. Honestly, when I look at this incident, I don't know how any rational person would disagree with anything I've said so far. Now, you might disagree, but I would challenge you to consider whether you're being rational in your disagreement or not. I've tried not to be inflammatory about it. I've tried to describe the situation as accurately as possible. And again, just in case you're just tuning in, I don't think the shooting was justified. It looks probably like a sort of a cascade of mistakes that all produced in the end him being dead. I do not consider that a murder. But was CBP or was ICE justified? They were not justified. And it's a horrible tragedy. Is it the fault of the person who showed up with the gun? The only way you can blame him is by saying that if you show up at a law enforcement operation and you're in the vicinity and you're kind of engaged, bad things may happen. If you have a gun in that situation, bad things may happen. But the victim blaming is a mistake, especially for gun rights advocates. And I've seen a lot of that kind of on social media over the weekend. PJ's got traffic on the fives.
I-10 and 110 are both looking good at this hour. Gulf Beach Highway not showing any delays. I'm PJ with your traffic on the fives.
Here's today's strength for life.
Consider with me the topic of ego. Proverbs 16 explains that an unchecked, insufferable ego will lead to destruction and to a fall. Ego is your enemy. It's your enemy because it inhibits you from learning. You can't teach someone something that they think they already know. Also, ego is your enemy because it destroys relationships. Eventually, other people tire of you if you're self-absorbed and egotistical. Further, ego is your enemy because it's antithetical to the gospel. After all, it's for by grace we're saved through faith, and that not of ourselves, it is a gift of God. And the cure to ego is to have a God confidence. It's okay to be confident in the gifts that God has entrusted to you. To avoid being egotistical, you must never forget that God gave you those gifts. So be confident in Him and then avoid the destruction that comes from an insufferable ego.
For more Strength for Life, check out our website at strengthforlife.church.
Ladies, join us to be the impact in 2026. I'm Martha Holden, president of Impact 100 Pensacola, a women's organization that has given over $18 million to nonprofits right here. Meet other members and hear about the impact our funding has made at meet and mingle sessions through mid-February. Women 18 and older are invited to join us by March 1st. For details, check us out on Facebook or visit impact100pensacola.org. That's impact100pensacola.org.
Hey, can you blow up some balloons for Jack's party?
I can't. I'm so congested.
You need Sinex Saline from Vicks.
Sinex Saline Nasal Spray?
Yeah, just Sinex. Breathe.
Sinex Saline instantly clears everyday congestion associated with colds and year-round allergies with a gentle, ultra-fine mist that's no mess and easy to control.
Daddy, we need more balloons!
On it!
Enjoy life's important moments without congestion. Try Sinex Saline from Vicks. Just Sinex. Breathe. Use as directed.
You don't need another money hack.
You need a plan.
Dave Ramsey, weeknights at 7 on News Radio 92.3.
Informative, local, dependable.
I'm Captain O.G. Reedborn, a reading kind of cat.
Good morning, 728 here on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. Good to be back. Thank you for sticking around while I was not here. I appreciate Walker and Jonathan and Josh and Jennifer and Craig for filling in for me all last week. David Wayne is in the newsroom this morning with our headlines. David?
Well, good morning, Andrew. More than a dozen people across five states are dead as the brutal winter storm has hit much of the nation. Also, a lot of people out of power. More than a million people as of late Sunday night had no power while the temperatures were plummeting across the South. The country could be facing another government shutdown after the shooting incident in Minnesota here over the weekend. Some Democratic senators say they now won't be voting for a $1.2 trillion funding package if it includes any money for the Department of Homeland Security, which oversees immigration enforcement. And TikTok appears to be back up and running. Apparently, it ran into some trouble late last night. Most of the issues seem to have been cleared up, but some users were reporting sporadic disruptions.
All right, David, thank you so much for the update. 729 on News Radio 92.3. Somebody says, Andrew, you've been gone for a week. What do you think about the new city of Pensacola branding for $25,000? I actually like it. I know that we all hate everything these days. So, but can I offer you a scenario? By the way, I do think that the one thing I would say about this is I have to officially rescind my award to Mayor D.C. Reeves, as he is no longer the first strong mayor not to impose his own brand on the city. You know, Ashton Hayward did it with the upside, and Grover Robinson did it with the Florida's First and Future. And I was like ready to award the award for not doing one. Inaction was getting praise, and then, you know, he did one. But I actually like it. I don't love it, but I do like it. And having read all the things that it's supposed to represent, I think it's fine. $25,000 doesn't bother me that much for a citywide rebrand that has all these dimensions to it. But just a thought, okay? Just a thought. We're so in the habit of hating everything. I actually think that if somebody came along and said, you know what we should do? We should put a giant white water tower on Pensacola Beach with a colorful beach ball on top of it, that everybody'd be against it for violating the visual scenery, putting garish colors up, and impeding our view of the Gulf.
Americans under cold weather alerts, power outages plague the South. Tennessee Governor Bill Lee on Fox and Friends.
When you have
minutes, it's a cold start to our day right now, 29 and cloudy. A comprehensive renovation plan for the Pensacola Bay Center could transform downtown Pensacola's entertainment and convention capabilities. Legends Global presenting a feasibility study on Thursday. Or last Friday morning, that is, proposing $189 million in improvements across three components: $71 million for arena renovations, $84 million for a new event center, $30 million for a practice ice rink. The plan would add premium seating, expand the stage to increase concert capacity by 1,800 seats, and create 55,000 square feet of convention space. Legends Global's Doug Thornton says the aging Bay Center needs a little bit of work if it's going to stay competitive.
Mobile's not going away. They're going to build that building, and if you don't do something, you will be left behind. Okay, now we're going to be realistic. We're dealing with a 40-plus-year-old Bay Center. They're building a new arena. But what you will have is the same, actually a little bit larger seating capacity for your concerts than they will have.
And the project would generate, could generate, an estimated $59 million in annual economic impact. And they also said it could potentially eliminate the county's current subsidy of Bay Center operations. Commissioners plan to revisit the proposal after they meet with Pensacola's City Council in a joint meeting sometime in the next few months. 68-year-old man has died after crashing into the Yellow River at the end of Ward Basin Road in Milton. FHP says witnesses reported his truck going 75 to 85 miles per hour and a second vehicle pursuing it, trying to get it to stop. Some neighbors say it's not the first time somebody's driven into the river at that location. They would like more safety features on the road, but county officials do say they've already got yellow flashing lights, rumble strips, and speed limit reductions. Mark Butler is now retired after 30 years of volunteer service with Escambia Fire Rescue. Butler started at the Molino Fire Department September 21st of 1995, a day after he turned 18. Worked his way up to assistant district chief. During his career, Butler volunteered hundreds of hours during hurricanes, tornadoes, COVID-19, and other emergencies. He was recognized by the Escambia Board of Commissioners with a proclamation last week. Now, Wednesday marks 40 years since the Space Shuttle Challenger disaster, one of the most painful moments in America's space history. Challenger broke apart just 73 seconds into launch at Cape Canaveral. Seven astronauts died, brought the space program to a temporary halt. In the hours after the explosion, President Ronald Reagan addressed the nation.
We will never forget them, nor the last time we saw them this morning, as they prepared for their journey and waved goodbye and slipped the surly bonds of Earth to touch the face of God.
The Challenger crew was honored alongside the Columbia astronauts and Apollo 1 crew at ceremonies last week. There's more tributes planned at NASA facilities nationwide this week. 29, we've got cloudy skies. Let's check on our forecast with Brooke Richardson and Channel 3.
It is going to be a very cold start to your day with breezy conditions. Temperatures starting off in the 20s, feeling much cooler with the wind. High near 43 degrees. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping back below freezing, 24 degrees. As you head into Tuesday, sunny skies, high near 48. And Tuesday night, temperatures dropping back into the 20s, 28 degrees. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
And right now we've got 29 degrees. It is partly cloudy. Our next news is at 8 o'clock. Breaking news anytime it happens. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
I'm Nicole Murray with Your Money Now. CEO Jensen Huang says NVIDIA will become TSMC's largest customer this year. Apple is believed to currently be TSMC's largest customer. The position swap is marking a fundamental shift in the semiconductor industry, reflecting NVIDIA's growing importance amid the AI infrastructure build-out. The automotive industry has been resilient as it has dealt with supply chain disruptions, tariffs, and regulatory changes for EVs over the past 6 years. However, now automakers are entering a new phase of uncertainty as they deal with affordability issues and slowing consumer demand, and as they await trade negotiations with Canada and Mexico. Brazilian plane maker Embraer says it aims to restore annual deliveries to pre-pandemic levels of around 100 units within the next 2 years, and then grow further following a recent boom in orders for its regional jets. Futures are currently mixed. Friday, the Dow Industrials lost 285. That's Your Money Now.
All right, it's 7:36 at News Radio 92.3, and I got so excited to get to our financial report, I completely forgot we need to get an update on our traffic on the 6-7s with PJ.
Traffic's brought to you by ECUA. ECUA Bulk Waste Service is now call for pickup. Call by 2 p.m. the day before your service day. Learn more at ecua.fl.gov. I-10 and 110 both flowing smooth. 9 miles, accident-free. Highway 90 clear from Milton to Pace. I'm PJ with your traffic on the 6s.
Your next news at 8 at News Radio 92.3.
It's the Always Sunny Show. When you're ready to throw a barbecue, it's Always Sunny's. Join us on Friday with me, Eldon Scott, to hear about barbecue events in the Pensacola community, win some amazing prizes, hear from local community leaders on how Sunny's Barbecue is helping to build a strong Pensacola. With 4 Sunny's locations serving the News Radio listening area, Navy Boulevard, Pine Forest, 9th Avenue, and Pace. Pep Talk with Eldon Scott, spreading the spirit of barbecue far and wide. Remember to tell Sunny that Eldon sent you.
Tune in to Retire Right Radio, hosted by Roberts Wealth Management, Sundays at 1 with Paul Roberts. Find out how their certified advisors can help you enjoy your retirement income. Financial security is about more than investments. Roberts Wealth can help you live your values and trust your future planning every step of the way. Don't miss Retire Right Radio, hosted by Roberts Wealth Management, this Sunday at 1 p.m.
Investment advisory services offered by Foundations Investment Advisor Services, LLC, SEC. Registered advisors.
Join Jonathan Cook from Jonathan's Flooring and Construction Wednesday at 9 a.m. on the Pensacola Expert Panel. Jonathan will be sharing his years of expertise on flooring, including insight on materials, installation, and maintenance, plus lots of great advice on home and office remodeling, including the kitchen, bath, cabinets, and more.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Text or call with your questions. 850-437-1620.
When the news gets complicated, you don't need more volume. You need better questions.
Better questions.
Hugh Hewitt sits down with lawmakers, legal experts, journalists, and insiders, and actually lets them talk.
Lets them talk.
Long-form interviews, real context, and time to understand what's really happening behind the headlines. Hugh Hewitt.
Hugh Hewitt.
Weekdays, 2 to 4, on News Radio 92.3, 95.3, AM 1620. Informative.
Informative.
Local. Dependable.
Dependable.
I walk 4 to 7 miles of barbed wire. I got a cobra snake for a necktie. A brand new house along the roadside, and it's made out of rattlesnake hide.
This case is about two fundamental rights, the right to bear arms and the property right to exclude. And there's lots of agreement among the parties about how those rights interact. Everyone agrees there's a right to carry on private property if the owner wants guns on his property. That was elicited by Justice Sotomayor to my friends. And everyone also agrees there's also no such right if the owner doesn't want guns. The only question is whether there's a Second Amendment right to assume the owner wants guns on his property when he's been silent. There is not.
This is a great summary of the case. This is Neil Katyal arguing before the Supreme Court last week about Hawaii's law that prohibits you from going on to private property open to the public with a gun unless you have specific overt permission from the private property owner that you're allowed to do so, in response to the Bruin case where the Supreme Court ruled that you cannot impede people's right to carry, keep and bear arms in public unless you can show historically that there's some law that has been around, that has been accepted within the Second Amendment framework that allowed that restriction, like sensitive places or like preventing a felon or a danger or an insane person, let's say, from possessing a gun, because dangerous persons in sensitive places, those are historically justified. But preventing people from assuming they can go on private property unless they have specific permission, well, he says that is allowed. The other side, the United States, and also the plaintiffs say that is not allowed. I think they're right. I think the Supreme Court case is going to be ruled probably 6-3, maybe 7-2, probably not more than that. So anyway, the point is, you have a right to be in public with a gun. The Supreme Court has upheld this within the Second Amendment. Now, you had it even if there hadn't been a Second Amendment. That's kind of the funny thing we sometimes forget. That's the pre-existing right concept. It's there not because of the Second Amendment, but the Second Amendment respects it. What about private property like a gas station or a store or a private residence? Well, the answer is, historically, because you're presumed to be able to go into the store and onto the parking lot both, the idea is, well, you can go there with a gun, unless they prohibit you, which they're allowed to do because it's private property. You know, you could put a sign up at the perimeter of the parking lot that said no guns. It's your private property. You could put a sign up at the store that says no guns. It's your private property. But the problem is that in Hawaii's case, they've made it a law that says unless the owner specifically permits you to come on their land or into their, you know, house. Well, I mean, house requires its own permissions, but their, you know, store or the restaurant or whatever, then you cannot. That's the argument here.
There is no constitutional right to assume that every invitation to enter private property includes an invitation to bring a gun. The Constitution protects the right to keep and bear arms. It doesn't create implied consent to bring those arms onto another's property.
Yes, it does. I mean, that's the whole idea of if a person comes, they come with their stuff. Now, you could tell them, you know, I don't want black people here. And you could stop them from coming on your property because it's your property. You don't have to let black people come on your property. Now, you do have to let them come on your property if you're a business owner because we have anti-discrimination laws, okay? But on your private property, I don't want you Christians here. I don't want you atheists here. I don't want you gun owners here. I don't want you red shirt wearing people here. It's your private property. You can prohibit anybody from having access to it. The question is when it's private property that's open to the public. That would be your driveway and your sidewalk. That would be the Walmart. That would be the, you know, the Publix, okay? That would be the Circle K. And in Hawaii, by saying no going in public area, well, private areas open to the public, they're essentially, without explicit permission, they're basically saying you can't go out in public with a gun because that constitutes so much of the space. And Neil Katyal's answer is, we're just saying there's a default and there's no constitutional right to have that default set one way or the other. To which the justices very quickly responded, sir. Oh, and by the way, I earlier made the comment that Ketanji Brown Jackson's the only black person on the street. Obviously, Clarence Thomas, and I don't know why I forgot it for the moment, so I apologize. Somebody texted me and said, is Clarence Thomas still on the court? I'm like, yeah, he's the oldest serving member of the court. And they're like, well, you said, I'm like, no. Yes, I did. Anyway, so he always gets the first question after the opening comments because he's the most senior member of the court.
Are there any other constitutional rights that you could place on which you could place similar limitations?
Sure.
And by the way, I could play you the rest of his stumbling around for an answer, but he did not give a good answer to this. And this is exactly the right question. Is there any other right, like, for example, the right to speech or to engage in leafleting or to pray? Is there any other right that you could say you don't have the default presumption to go on somebody's property while exercising that right? And the answer is no, of course not. And that's the problem. They're treating the Second Amendment like a second-class right. Elena Kagan even, as a liberal on the court, okay? This is why I say she might go one way or the other on this case.
So suppose there were a state that said, we're going to flip the default rule so that you cannot leaflet in shopping centers unless you secure permission first. Yeah. Would that be constitutionally problematic or not?
It would absolutely be constitutionally problematic. We'll come back to this in a second because it's a very interesting line of questioning here. PJ's got traffic on the fives.
Traffic's brought to you by Florida West EDA. Beverly Parkway eastbound is seeing some congestion right now in Pensacola. US 98 in Gulf Breeze right near the Naval Live Oaks area is also seeing slowdowns. I'm PJ with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, PJ. Back to the Supreme Court where they're asking the question, could a state or a city, you know, or a county flip the presumption on any of the other constitutional rights, like, for example, political discussion? Could they tell candidates that they have to get permission to go on private property before entering? Now, you can put up a sign, no trespassing, no soliciting, no politicking. But in the absence of such a sign, do you have to sort of stand out on the sidewalk or the outside sidewalk or out on the street and yell in, hey, is it okay for me to come talk to you in your house? I mean, it's... This is crazy.
It strikes me that one of the things that your side of the case has to come to grips with is that it is a very clear constitutional right under the First Amendment. If I, for example, as a candidate for office, want to walk up to your door on private property and knock on the door and say, here, you know, give me your vote, that's exercising the First Amendment right. But you say that it's different when it comes to the Second Amendment, that you can walk up. So when the candidates wants to walk up and he's carrying a gun, what exactly is the basis for the distinction?
That's a great question. And by the way, you start to see why I am covering this today instead of some other things, but you do see some overlap in the subject matter, right? With the defense of the Second Amendment, carrying a gun in public, not menacing with it, not brandishing with it, just having it in your waistband, let's say, and the legality of that at, despite Kash Patel's comments, at a political, let's say, event, demonstration, whatever. I mean, just, you know, I'm not that dumb that I don't put some of this stuff together for you, because what the Supreme Court is deciding is extraordinary, and other states are wanting to follow Hawaii's lead here, right? So this is extremely relevant to even things that are going on, say, in Minneapolis.
Said part of the history and tradition is there's no right to enter private property without the owner's consent, right? Mm-hmm. Well, we know that that's not a through line, right? Because you do have a right to enter the owner's private property if you want to exercise your First Amendment rights, right?
So not without their consent, Your Honor.
Sure. I don't have to have a sign on the sidewalk before you enter my property saying, okay to come on if you're going to give me some leaflet, or okay to come on if you're a candidate. The assumption is that there is a First Amendment right. Yes, you can withdraw it. And again, I'm just trying to figure out exactly what the difference is between the First Amendment and the Second Amendment.
If you let people on your property, they presumptively carry with them all of their rights. You can decide to specifically limit those rights because it's your private property. But the presumption is, where a person goes, they carry their rights. Amy Coney Barrett.
Mr. Kyle, I don't understand why you're resisting the First Amendment. Well, I do understand why you're resisting it.
Because it's a losing proposition for him.
But let's say there's no content discrimination. It's just a ban on leafleting, and it's a ban because people don't like solicitation. So they just don't want people passing out pamphlets. It's not aimed at Jehovah's Witnesses or anything like that, like some of our old cases.
You know, because people who engage in politicking and leaflet handing out can be obnoxious, and they can create litter, and there might be a reason why.
Why would that fail rational basis review?
So I think it might, because as this court said in Free Speech versus Paxson, you still have to have some underlying rationality.
Yeah, people find it annoying. They don't like it. They think it affects their businesses, and people don't want to go to businesses if they're going to be accosted by pamphleteers.
But it may be a rational based problem, but I don't think it's a First Amendment problem. This court in Rowan said that, quote, the right to engage in expressive activity generally stops at the outer boundary of every person's domain.
It does if you enforce it, but the presumption is that if you allow your private property to be open to the public, that they carry with them their rights wherever they go.
Okay, you're just relegating the Second Amendment to second-class status. I don't see how you can get away from that.
Justice Alito.
If someone owns a store, or let's say it's a little restaurant, and this person has very strong political opinions and does not want anybody in that restaurant who is wearing attire that is expressing approval of a particular political candidate. That person, the owner of that restaurant, has the right to say, you can't come in, right?
Yes.
All right. Now, could Hawaii enact a statute that says that if you are wearing the attire, attire expressing approval of a particular political candidate, you can't come in unless you get express consent from the owner of the restaurant?
Again, that's a viewpoint discrimination and prohibited.
It's a violation of the First Amendment. We have a violation of the First Amendment and what is — and a violation of the right that the Court held is protected by the Second Amendment in Bruin, which is the right of law-abiding citizens to carry a firearm for purposes outside of the home for purposes of self-defense.
You can absolutely tell a person that they have to forego some of their rights to come on your property, but you have to tell them. And in allowing the public in general to come on your property, you must allow them to carry all their rights with them unless you tell them they can't.
And you rely very heavily on an 1865 Black Code law in Louisiana. You say it's a dead ringer and a reason alone to affirm the judgment. And I really want to understand how that could be.
So let me take those in turn. So first, with respect to the California law, I think it's really important to understand here the Hawaii law has a much broader definition of consent. A much
I know it does. That wasn't the question. And why don't you answer the question posed?
About the California law?
No, I want to understand how you think black codes should inform this court's decision-making. It's quite an astonishing claim to me.
So the black codes are undoubtedly a shameful part of our history, but that doesn't at all mean that this particular law is irrelevant to Second Amendment analysis.
There is one of the, you know, under Bruin, you have to give historical analogs that justify this kind of a law in the presence of the Second Amendment. And he's saying that a Louisiana, and their side is saying that a Louisiana law that prohibits you carrying guns on private property post-Civil War in Reconstruction as an effort to thwart black people being armed, that was allowed to stand, and therefore we should be able to restrict people's ability to carry guns. In other words, the very anti-black, racist black code is the reason that we can have gun regulations. It's an astonishing perspective for their side to be taking.
I understand a lot of people like to cite the black codes who promote gun restrictions, who would otherwise, they would be garlic in front of a vampire in front of them.
Exactly.
But here they like them, they embrace them, and I'm really interested in why.
So, Justice Gorsuch, when I said the black codes were a shameful period, there are parts of the black codes like this particular statute which were race neutral, which the Congress of the United States, the same Congress that ratified the 14th Amendment, implicitly blessed by admitting Louisiana back in. It didn't treat that with the same with respect to other laws from other states, but it did here.
And that's actually a very important point that I think is going to wind up getting lost in some of this conversation. But when Louisiana was readmitted to the Union, a lot of the black codes got struck down as a condition for their readmission. This one did not, apparently. It was allowed to let stand. And so what Neil Katyal is arguing is that the Reconstruction Congress knew about this and they allowed it to stand because it was race neutral at the time, even though it came within the general scope of being black laws. I just still think that the justices are getting this right when they're amazed that the gun grabbers or the gun preventers in Hawaii and many of the liberals and or blacks who are arguing for this are saying, yeah, the black codes make it fine.
Mr. Katyal, wasn't the purpose of the laws in the post Reconstruction South that disarmed black people precisely to prevent them from doing what the Second Amendment is designed to protect, which is to defend yourself against attacks? They wanted to disarm the black population in order to help the Klan terrorize them and law enforcement officers in that period, in that region. They wanted to put them at the mercy of racist law enforcement officers. So is it not the height of irony to cite a law that was enacted for exactly the purpose of preventing someone from exercising the Second Amendment right, to cite this as an example of what the Second Amendment protects?
So, yes. I mean, yes, that's exactly right. So as I said, they're going to rule on this next summer. It's almost certainly going to be at least a 6-3 to strike down the Hawaii law. maybe a 7-2. As I say, Elena Kagan seemed to be a little bit this way and that. I think Sonia Sotomayor and Ketanji Brown Jackson will probably vote to uphold the law on the basis of the black codes, which is going to be an absolutely fascinating thing to read. But this was a big argument at the Supreme Court. This is a big issue because if Hawaii's law gets upheld, then all of your liberal states could rush in with this exact kind of thing, reverse the presumption on private places open to the public and make it almost impossible for you to carry a handgun anywhere in the United States where they pass that kind of presumption. PJ has got traffic on the fives.
Thanks, Andrew. U.S. 90 approaching Blackwater River in Milton is seeing quite a bit of congestion right now. U.S. 98 in Gulf Breeze right near the Naval Live Oaks area also seeing some slowdowns. I'm PJ with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, PJ. If you own a business and you have employees, especially if you're growing and you have to handle health insurance, dental, vision, life, disability, you know, payroll, HR, all of that kind of stuff, Torgerson Consulting can do that. We've been using them here at News Radio and Cat Country for about 5 years. They've been great. They are not miracle workers. You know, the marketplace is what it is, but they go scour it every year and try to find us the best plans available, give us choices. You know, again, within the sort of awful things that are out there, they do find the best of the awful, and I appreciate that, and they answer our questions. They have great customer service. And my wife, who's an engineer and loves to ask detail or any questions, and they are great at giving us answers and getting back to us if they don't know them, so we're big fans, really big fans of Torgerson Consulting. They can come and look for no obligation at what you're doing already and see if it can be done better, cheaper, or both. 433-9996 or check them out online at tcbenefitsgroup.com.
Hey, can you blow up some balloons for Jack's party?
I can't. I'm so congested.
You need Sinex Saline from Vicks.
Sinex Saline Nasal Spray?
Yeah, just Sinex. Breathe.
Sinex Saline instantly clears everyday congestion associated with colds and year-round allergies with a gentle, ultra-fine mist that's no mess and easy to control.
Daddy, we need more balloons!
On it!
Enjoy life's important moments without congestion. Try Sinex Saline from Vicks. Just Sinex. Breathe. Use as directed.
Do you have questions regarding your plants and landscaping? If so, The Garden Line is for you. I am Mike Wiggins, and every Tuesday morning at 9, we are here for you on News Radio 92.3 to answer your questions. Seasonal changes call for different activities in your lawn and garden, so tune in and text or call with your questions on The Garden Line on Tuesdays at 9 and an encore each Saturday at the same time.
The Garden Line on the Pensacola Expert Panel, Tuesdays at 9 on News Radio 92.3.
Got a question about business, health, or money?
Chances are Meg's already talking to the expert.
Pet Talk, Pet's Call Expert Panel, weekdays at 9 on News Radio 92.3.
I was just nowhere near your neighborhood.
Got a little more Seattle on my brain lately. Just some of the music I've been listening to. Plus, I watched Singles again recently. Oh, such a great movie. 7:58 on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Well, good morning, Andrew, and glad to have you back today. I hope you had a very wonderful vacation.
I had a great time.
Well, good. I'm happy. Hey, the country could be facing another government shutdown after this debacle in Minnesota now. Some Democrat senators saying they will not be voting for a $1.2 trillion funding package this week if that funding package includes any money for the Department of Homeland Security, which oversees immigration enforcement.
And that already passed the House, but the Senate is now saying.
Right, so. Right. The countdown is on to Super Bowl 60. It'll be the Patriots and the Seattle Seahawks from Santa Clara, California, February 8th. So get the ingredients, but don't put together the dip as of yet, right?
Do not assemble. Not quite yet. Definitely don't leave on the counter if you do.
Yeah, may need refrigeration. TikTok is back up and running. I know that's that's a load off your mind, I'm
sure. How was I able to function?
Apparently, it had some issues late last night. I was blissfully unaware of these issues, but apparently they have cleared up now.
Very good. All right, David, thanks so much for the update. Oh, somebody texted in, even though, of course, he has passed on, it is now Eddie Van Halen's birthday. He would have been 71 today, true. Anita Baker is 68. That's hard to put in my head that, Eddie is older than Anita Baker. Just, I don't know why. That one's hard for me to wrap my brain around. Also, it is the anniversary of Bill Clinton's, you know, finger waggling at all of us that he didn't do any of the things that he actually did with the Lewinsky scandal. So lots of stuff going on in history. Oh, and what did I see? Greenland deploying its cold weather to us wasn't a first strike any of us anticipated.
You're listening to News Radio 92.3 WNRP Gulf Breeze, Milton, Pensacola.
Digging out from New Mexico to New England. I'm Dave Anthony, Fox News.
This is historic levels of snow and ice. And then following up with single-digit temperatures today, tonight, tomorrow.
Governorville, Lee in Tennessee, where there are the most power outages, almost a third of the more than 800,000 homes and businesses that allowed electricity this morning across the South and Mid-Atlantic. Fox Weather's Bane Fronies in Dallas, Texas.
We've seen crews out here since yesterday trying to improve the roadways so that folks can get back on them and able to get back to work, back to school.
Well, schools are closed from there up to New England. Some areas got over a foot of snow. At least 9 people have died in the storm, including a teenager killed in a sledding accident in Texas. There may be even more deaths. A private plane went down during the snow last night and then caught fire in Maine.
The FAA writing, quote, a Bombardier Challenger 600 crashed as it was taking off from Bangor International Airport in Maine around 7:45 local time. 8 people were on board, and we still don't have a status report on those 8 that were on that plane.
Fox's Brian Yenis monitoring from Boston, where there are a lot of flights canceled again today. The storm still making air travel difficult. Nearly 4,000 cancellations the day after 11,000 plus flights were grounded. President Trump's just posted on Truth Social he's sending border czar Tom Holman to Minnesota, where the anti-ICE protests got even angrier after a protester was shot dead over the weekend. Democratic officials in the state got a judge to order evidence be preserved.
The president told the Wall Street Journal the administration was reviewing the incident that led to the death of Alex Preddy. Several members of the administration defended the shooting of Preddy, saying he was carrying a gun. But several videos of the incident show a federal officer pulling a gun away from Preddy, then opening fire on the unarmed man.
Fox's Jill Nato. Hours after Israel launched an operation in Gaza to find the remains of the last dead hostage Hamas took in the terror attack that triggered the war, a body's been located. America's listening to Fox News.
Welcome back to Winter Hack Radio, the place for clever hacks to survive the season. Icy driveway? Well, try spreading sand or birdseed to help with traction. Snowy puppy paws? Well, grab a whisk, brush it off, done. Catch COVID-19? Well, just get...
Actually, there's no hack for COVID-19. But if you test positive, prescription medications for COVID exist. Ask your doctor if they're right for you. Visit PfizerForAll.com to learn more. Sponsored by Pfizer.
Sniffles and sneezes got you down? GoodRx is here to help with big savings on commonly prescribed cold and flu meds. GoodRx is free and easy to use. GoodRx is accepted at all major pharmacies like CVS, Walmart, and Walgreens. Just search your prescription, find a coupon, then show your pharmacist at the drop-off counter. GoodRx is not insurance, but it works whether you have insurance or not. If you do, GoodRx may beat your copay price. Download the free app or visit GoodRx.com to save today.
Now, what happened over the weekend in Minnesota is going to be a big deal in Washington, with Democrats considering blocking a funding bill ahead of a Friday deadline in the Senate to avert a partial government shutdown.
The Republican-led House Homeland Security Committee is requesting a full committee hearing with testimony from ICE, Border Patrol, and Immigration Services leaders. It comes after the shooting death of Alex Preddy in Minnesota. The Senate is set to vote on a bill to avoid a government shutdown this week that includes funding for Homeland Security and ICE, which Democrats are vowing to block. Republican Pete Ricketts says he still supports funding ICE, but says he expects a prioritized, transparent investigation, and says the nation, quote, witnessed a horrifying situation. In Washington, Ryan Schmelz, Fox News.
Now an update on the attempt to stop Russia's war in Ukraine.
This document is designed to make sure Russia will never attack Ukraine again once the war finally ends, a security guarantee hinging on the promise of U.S.-backed military action. Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky says he's just waiting for his allies to name the time and place for it to be signed. signed. It would then need to be ratified by Congress and the Ukrainian parliament. Meanwhile, we're told talks between Ukraine, Russia and the US on ending the war finished constructively. Moscow says there will be further three-way discussions next week. Jonathan Savage, Fox News.
On Wall Street, stock futures are now mixed before the opening bell this hour. Up for the Dow, down for the NASDAQ after last week's slight losses for both. The Super Bowl 60 matchup is set.
Here over the middle, Cooper Kupp, it's in! Touchdown, Seahawks!
That ended up the game-winning score for Seattle, taking the NFC Championship, topping the Los Angeles Rams 31-27 on Fox. The Seahawks will play the New England Patriots, who won the AFC title, beating the Broncos in a blizzard in Denver 10-7. I'm Dave Anthony, and this is Fox News.
Good morning. It's 8:05 at News Radio 92.3, and we've got partly cloudy skies right now. It is a bit of a chilly start to our morning. We've got 29 degrees right now across the area. We'll get to our full forecast. That's up with Brooke Richardson in just a few minutes. First, let's check in with PJ, get a look at the at our traffic on the fives this hour.
Traffic's brought to you by BathFitter.com, the leader in bathroom innovation. With the BathFitter PermaFit solution, your new tub or shower is built to fit perfectly and guaranteed for life. Visit BathFitter.com to get started today. Taking a look at the big board, U.S. 90 approaching the Blackwater River in Milton. Seeing some congestion right now. U.S. 98 near the Naval Live Oaks area. Also seeing some slowdowns. I'm PJ with your traffic on the fives.
Thank you very much, PJ. Well, a proposed renovation at the Pensacola Bay Center could bring nearly $60 million in annual economic impact to the county while eliminating the facility's operating subsidy. Legends Global presenting their $189 million plan on Thursday, which includes arena improvements, a new event center for conventions and sports tournaments, and a second sheet of ice. The study projects that the renovated complex would attract over 500,000 additional visitors each year. Legends Global's Bill Kruger says that the investment addresses a big need, which hasn't been looked at for decades.